Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, high atop the Tower of Hope. And what a blessing. I feel like I won the lottery here. We have the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, the new Auxiliary Bishop of Orange, here in the studio. Welcome, Bishop.
Thank you, Deacon. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is so wonderful. And also, every single day, Bishop, for the last 45 years, I feel like I've won the lottery because my wife, Marianne, is also here. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Marianne.
Thank you, Steve.
45 years. I know I keep mentioning that. We were married at 10, if everybody wants to do the math now. It's been how many days now?
It's been 8 days.
8 days.
Tuesday of last week.
8 days, and amazing. And we are so excited here in the Diocese of Orange to have Bishop here and as our new bishop. And tell us about your background. You're local here in Orange County. Is that correct?
That's correct. I grew up in Huntington Beach, right near the beach. Never went surfing, though. That's a common question. But I was not a morning person. So the idea of getting up before school and going into the cold water or staying in my nice warm bed, the warm bed always won out. But I grew up here locally, went to public schools, and then into the seminary.
Well, wonderful. Well, tell us about your calling. You know, what happened in which you felt at one point in time, you know, God is calling me to do something very special.
It's an interesting story. Growing up, I'm the only child of two only children, so I don't have cousins, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. My dad was a banker. Then my mom, when I started school, she started working in a school. And I loved math. I loved science. I thought that my path would be then being a doctor. So there are times I remember that when my parents were away that I would try doing experiments at home and I'd get in trouble for ruining a pan, trying to cook things or just see what would happen. And my thought was I'd be a doctor, have good money, at least 4 kids, a big house. Everything was good. My dad was a non-practicing Lutheran. And when I was 10, he eventually then converted to Catholicism. So he took all the classes and got to know one of the priests. Then 3 years later, 2 years later, he was diagnosed with lung cancer, and then 3 years later had died. And I would see him go to the doctor, go to the hospital, and he was in tremendous pain during that time. So the dad that I knew that had the great sense of humor and was always joking wasn't really that manifest because of the pain. But whenever the priest came to anoint him, he went back to where he had no pain. And it would last for days. He would
Praise
be able
Lord.
To just be himself and joke, and obviously the pain was there, but it wasn't affecting him like it was. And so after he died in high school, I'd start thinking, maybe I should be a priest. And I would just push it away, and God kept on gently saying, if you really want to be happy, this is the way to do it. If you want to help people, this is the way to do it. So then my home parish started Explorer Scouts, which was like Boy Scouts but co-ed, and I learned that I could be able to have friends that are girls and not be in a romantic relationship with them and be fulfilled and happy, that I didn't need a wife to make me happy. I didn't need a girlfriend to make me happy. And then I was eventually getting a job in fast food, and the owners had lots of money, but they didn't seem really happy. So I started to realize, well, money doesn't equal happiness. And so all of my obstacles, God just gradually wore them down. And so I thought, well, then I'm going to try this. I hadn't told anybody yet. It was my senior year of high school. My mom was upset with me because I was going to go to UCI for pre-med, and I hadn't done the application. We were driving home from the grocery store, and she said, I don't understand why you're not doing this. You know, you've got the grades, you've got the SAT scores, you just have to fill out the paperwork. Why aren't you doing it? And I said, because I don't want to go to UCI. I want to become a priest. That was the first way she heard about it.
The look on her face had to be classic.
Yes. Thankfully, there was no car next to us because I think we kind of went off the lane a little bit when she was in shock. But she was super supportive. And my fear was she'd be upset that she'd never have grandchildren. But she's always, whatever God wants, whatever you will be happy doing is fine with me. So,
well, praise the Lord. And we're so blessed that that decision was made. And you're here now as the Bishop of Orange here, the Auxiliary Bishop of Orange. And it's so important to really reflect upon the fact that you made a decision for Christ. And we're asking our listeners across the country that today's the day that you say yes to Christ. Today's the day that you answer the call. And, you know, Jesus, as you think about what he did walking along the seashore there with the disciples, he had two words, follow me,
yes.
Follow me. And so many people hear that but decide not to. And when did you know that you were doing the right thing? I mean, you talked about some examples of not needing a girlfriend or not needing the money and so forth. But always as you go through the trials and tribulations of life, there are some questions. And how did you know for sure that you were supposed to be a priest?
I think part of it was that it just kept getting stronger and stronger. When I was in the seminary, I felt, okay, I think this is what God has called me to do. But seminary is a time still of discernment, of formation. And it was then when I was really called to orders by the bishop that I said, okay, this is not my will, it's God's will, because the Lord is speaking through the church. It's not me imposing my will on the church. And so that's when I knew, when the bishop called me, that, yes, this is God's will. Because I could have the will, but it may not be what God has planned. And so that's where we have to trust the bishops and the church and be open to the Holy Spirit working through the church.
Did you have a particular mentor that helped you along the process, or not really?
Not really. I had a number of priests that were very helpful to me. Archbishop Niederauer, the retired Archbishop of San Francisco, was my spiritual director for a couple of years in the seminary before he became the rector in charge of the seminary. And I've had a number of priests like that that just would give me good advice and help me to try to stay humble and try to be obedient to God's word and lived good examples.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral with the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, Auxiliary Bishop of Orange, newly ordained. There is no doubt in my mind that God is calling many young men out there to some sort of vocation, priesthood, a brother, perhaps even deacon. But those that are considering the priesthood, and perhaps not knowing, is this really from God? Is this not from God? What's your message to them?
First off, I think it is to root yourself in prayer. If you're trying to discern if it's from God or not, and you're not really praying or not visiting the Blessed Sacrament, then you're just in your own mind, and that's not going to be helpful. And to trust that if he's gently calling you, that that's the Lord's voice. I think a lot of times we want, like, an archangel to come down and tell us directly exactly what the Lord wants us to do. But if we look at, like, Elijah the prophet, when he was in the cave waiting for the voice of God, the lightning came and he thought he was in the lightning, but he wasn't in the lightning. And the thunder and the strong wind, it was that soft, quiet, almost imperceptible breeze that the Lord spoke to Elijah. And I think that for people who are discerning, it's not expecting a big, strong knock on the head. It's that soft voice just inviting and whispering, and to trust that and then to start talking with people in their parish, their priests, or some of the staff members, and get involved in some of the discernment groups that exist all over the country. But I think it's rooting yourself in prayer and not thinking that God's going to just knock you off your horse. We're not like St. Paul.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at John 15:16. It is not you who called me, but I who called you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father, he may give you. Marianne, so many times, as Bishop was saying, people think that you have to have these lightning bolts, but it is that whisper. And also other people will say things that in your heart, they don't even know what they're saying, but you know it's from God.
Yes, sometimes it's just that somebody says something and you feel that pounding in your heart and you know it's the Lord. And so God speaks to us through other people as well. It's important to hear. And, you know, I even hear your circumstances, you know, with your father being ill and having the lung cancer, that God used that difficult situation in your life to begin his call.
Exactly. It was through something that was tragic in many ways. But God can take terrible things and make good things come of them. And we just have to be open to him and to trust that he has already won the victory for us. So he will continue to do great work in our life.
Amen, amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, God is the God of miracles. And as you listen to this, there's a reason you're listening to this show, because God is calling you into a deeper holiness. He is calling you to say yes to him. To say yes to him completely and not partially. as we take a look at Revelation 2, Jesus is very clear when he says, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. It is time to be hot. It is time to let the Holy Spirit come upon you in such a dynamic way. And when you do that, then that's when the fulfillment of your life really happens. And that is so important that we understand that God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for your life. And we're so excited that that purpose included Bishop Fryer becoming the auxiliary bishop of Orange. And we're going to find out a lot more about his background and about his amazing zeal for Jesus. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
The Orange County Catholic Book Club is kicking off its author focus series with a presentation by the promising new Orange County-based Catholic author, James Day. Day will discuss his latest work, Father Benedict, the Spiritual and Intellectual Legacy of Pope Benedict XVI, with a panel of local church scholars, including Father Robert Spitzer and Pia De Seleni, on Thursday, April 27th at 6:30 p.m. in the Freed Theater on the Christ Cathedral campus. For ticket information, go to bookclubseries.eventbrite.com or call 714-282-3045. That's 714-282-3045. The Orange County Catholic Book Club offers quarterly opportunities to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors, reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. For more information on the OC Catholic Book Club, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco back on Empowered by the Spirit with the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, the Auxiliary Bishop of Orange, newly ordained. And again, we're so excited to have him on the show along with my wife, Marianne Greco. And we've been talking about his background, his calling to be priest. And you were assigned to a number of exciting parishes here in the Diocese of Orange. Tell us about that.
Yes, and everyone was a surprise to me, which is interesting. In our diocese, it's a small geographic diocese, only probably 500 some odd square miles, only 62 parishes and centers. And my first assignment as a priest was to a parish, St. Hedwig in Los Alamitos. And I remember after meeting the bishop, having to go home, and at that time we didn't have computers, all that, so pulling out the map, because I had no idea where Los Alamitos even was located. That's how much I knew of that parish. Absolutely nothing. And it was a great experience. The bishop had said when we got our assignment that we're assigned for 4 years, and 4 years is 4 years, not 3 years, not 5 years, 4 years. And I ended up being there 5 years. The pastor asked if I would stay an extra year, and I was happy to do so. It was a great community. And then I went into the personnel board, and they asked, do you want a larger parish, smaller parish, schools, hospitals? And I was, whatever. The only thing I'd ask is that I tried to be in the northern part of the county. I was friends with a number of priests in Los Angeles to the north of us. And so I got a call saying that you're going to Our Lady of Fatima Parish, the most southern parish in the diocese.
So my one request was
not paid attention
to. They thought you were kidding, I guess.
Yes. And again, I got there and loved the parish, loved the community. It was a parish where a growing Hispanic ministry was taking place, and I ended up again, instead of 4 years, I ended up being there 5 years. And after that, I thought I'd go back into Central Orange County, and I got a call to go to Laguna Beach, and a beautiful small parish overlooking the ocean, wonderful views, and had a great time there. We were building up a lot of good ministry at the time. I was there 1 year with one pastor, 1 year with another pastor, and then I was asked to become pastor of a parish in Fullerton, St. Mary's. And I remember telling the bishop, I know there are lots of priests that are upset because they're not yet pastors. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. Let them do it. And he said, no, this is what the church needs. We need you. And so I said, okay. And I was going there, taking over from a religious community that had had a lot of vocation struggles, and so they had had a pastor a year, just about. So I was being sent there to add stability. Everybody was excited. We finally have a pastor that's going to be around for a while. And 2 years later, I was asked to move to St. Boniface Church in Anaheim. So I said, you come bear the bad news. I'm not the one that's going to do that. But St. Boniface is just one of our largest parishes, English, Spanish, Vietnamese, Filipino, and the bishop said that they needed me to use my gifts at that place. So I'd been there, happy, enjoying it. I was in my ninth year, and when we bought Christ Cathedral, the vicar for priests became the rector of Christ Cathedral, Father Christopher Smith, and so the priests get to vote to recommend to the bishop who they would want to take care of them, and they voted for me, and so then I got called to this new ministry. So everything's come out of the blue in my whole life as a priest, and every assignment has been better than I could have imagined, and I just give thanks to God all the time that I've been able to have these experiences. Again, not things I've asked for, but God knows what's best for me, and so I have to trust.
Now, it's interesting, especially when I was speaking with Bishop Van about one of your roles, and that is ministering to the Hispanics, and you're fluent speaking of Spanish. Now, where did that happen? At what point?
That happened mostly in my second assignment in San Clemente. In college, I had taken Spanish and didn't really pay much attention to it. I grew up in Huntington Beach, and at that time, I was pretty isolated. I didn't think that in Orange County we didn't have many Hispanics. I thought, L.A., yeah, they have lots of them, but I don't need to pay attention to the Spanish stuff. And then I was ordained. After having done some seminary Spanish again in theology, they sent me to Guatemala for language immersion, but I didn't really learn much. I got sick after a few days there, and eventually after three rounds of different doctors, they said, you're turning yellow, you need to get home because they won't let you on a plane if you get any yellower. They thought I might have had hepatitis.
Oh, boy.
So I didn't know much. So when I was ordained, I could speak Spanish to the degree of saying, God loves you, be good, how are you? That was about it. But there was a couple in the parish, and it was a small Spanish-speaking community, maybe 200 people at a mass, and they said, we'll help you to preach. And so they would come and work with me and help me to learn how to pick up the vocabulary that would be used. And then they said, we don't want you to read. We'd rather you make mistakes but speak from the heart. And so they pushed me and challenged me to do that. Then when I went to San Clemente, I had the option of going for a month to Mexico, and I picked up a lot of Spanish there. I had a great, great program there. The immersion was fantastic. And then coming back and being in a larger Spanish community, I was able to practice more, and people would help correct me, and it just kept building. So my grammar is still not 100%. I don't roll my R's as well as I should. But people understand me, and I can run meetings in Spanish. I can teach classes in Spanish. I can.
Wow, that's great.
And I can do it without notes, so that's the blessing.
It's like God prepares us for our jobs ahead of us.
Yes.
We don't even know it.
Yes. Yeah, he's always doing great things.
What message do you have to our Spanish-speaking audience right now?
Primeramente quiero agradecerles por su tiempo que está escuchando este programa y también por el deseo que tengan que quieren mejorar su relación con Jesucristo y con la Iglesia. Para mí es un placer siempre estar aprendiendo de ustedes, caminando con ustedes, y espero que estarán orando por mí y que en el futuro podemos seguir construyendo el reino de Dios aquí en nuestra área.
Which is what?
Thanking everybody for, first off, listening to the program and wanting to develop a stronger relationship with Christ and His church, and to continue to pray for me as I'm praying for them, that together hopefully we'll be able to build up the kingdom of God here in this local place.
Praise the Lord. One of the things that we do as part of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is pilgrimages, and we have an exciting one coming up to Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. And
we're really excited.
We've never been, so we're... Tell us about Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Blessed Mother and a special devotion that you have.
I've never been there either, actually, which is the amazing thing.
There's still room.
Possibly. I may end up joining you then. But through the people and seeing the devotion of people, I was admiring how she was bringing people back to Christ. And so in my second assignment, we would have a novena in preparation for Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the custom was then that I would preach those 9 days. So I had to really learn the whole history of Our Lady of Guadalupe and be able to bring those aspects into the novena. In doing so, I realized her great love for our continent. She came to evangelize us. She came primarily asking that we would come to her son. Her request was that a church would be built so that people could come and receive the sacraments and people could be nourished by the church. And Juan Diego tried, and the bishops didn't pay much attention to him, and so Our Lady came back again the second time, and he then was trying to avoid her the third time. His uncle was deathly ill, and he was trying to get a priest to give him the sacrament of the sick. So he knew if he went back that old way, that woman would be there telling him to go to the bishops again. So he went a different path, and there she was again. Am I not your mother? And at that moment, then, she was appearing to his uncle, and he was healed. And that's when she directed Juan Diego over the little hill, where in the middle of winter in the mountains there were these roses that she was telling Juan Diego to bring to the bishop, which is the tomb of the image now that we have, that brought faith to this part of the land. So it was a great story. And learning about that, I continued to trust in her intercession more and more and more.
Amen.
And I've been amazed at times when I've asked her for her intercession or help, and truly miraculous things would happen, and almost immediately. So I know she's powerful, like at the wedding of Cana.
Amen.
She's a great intercessor for us.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, you have a spiritual mother. Turn to her. She's waiting for you, waiting to lead you closer to Christ, waiting to just bless you with her love through her son, Jesus Christ. And there's no question in my mind that she is so important to our faith and our spirituality. And she's on your coat of arms. Or tell us about your coat of arms.
So my coat of arms, it has two roses, which are representative of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Normally, if it's a sign of Our Lady of Guadalupe, there's at least two, if not more, roses. So I have that. And I also have the sword piercing the book of the Gospels, which some people thought were St. Paul. And some people thought it looked awfully weird to have the sword going through the book of the Gospels. But that's the symbol for St. Boniface. My parents were both half German. I was at St. Boniface Parish, which originally was founded for the German community in Anaheim, right by Disneyland. And so I wanted to give tribute both to my family heritage as well as where I'd been pastor for the longest time. So that was the symbol, which I didn't know. Thankfully, there are people that are great creative minds and are able to come up with these devices. And the third aspect is the host of the Blessed Sacrament. And when I was talking with the designer and I gave him my life history, I remember that there were times in the seminary that were challenging and difficult. And in our diocese, we have a program of 24-hour adoration. So every parish is given a different day, and they have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament for 24 hours. And so I knew in that moment somebody at home was before the Blessed Sacrament praying for us seminarians, and that there are many times that that's what got us through. So I wanted to include that in the coat of arms as well, the great devotion that we have and blessing of having adoration here in the diocese 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Praise the Lord. What a blessing. We are here with the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, the new Auxiliary Bishop of Orange. We're going to be right back to learn more about his passion for evangelization, his passion to do the will of our Father. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Marianne Greco and the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, our new Auxiliary Bishop of Orange. And we're so excited again to have the bishop on our show talking about his background. And we were talking about his coat of arms. And you also have a tie into Scotland. Tell us about that.
Yes. My titular diocese is the Diocese of Strathearn, which is in Scotland. It's assigned to me by the Pope, and the bishop of a diocese, like Bishop Van here in Orange, he's the bishop of the Diocese of Orange. So I couldn't be Bishop of Orange as well. I'm his auxiliary. But every bishop is supposed to have a territorial see or diocese.
Oh, interesting.
So the church then takes dioceses that have been suppressed and give us that title. I'm so titular bishop of Strathearn, which is in Scotland. Many of the dioceses are in Africa or in countries that are primarily now Muslim. By chance, it was Scotland for me, which went full circle because I was ordained a priest on the feast day of St. Margaret of Scotland. So again, God's providence in how he tying all these things together is just amazing.
Marianne, you've often said that God is the God of detail.
Yes, it's just, it's always amazing if we, and you certainly have an open heart to see and hear when God is doing those things. And I think we need to train ourselves sometimes to be alerted to all those blessings and graces that God is doing for us that some people might overlook, but you seem to have this open heart and peace about God's part of it. And it's wonderful to hear the stories of how he is. He's taking care of every detail along the way, and you seem to have so much peace. I feel that peace on you.
Yeah, praise the Lord. It's just so amazing. But in terms of being the titular bishop, what does that really mean in terms of responsibility?
Responsibility? None.
Okay.
None. I've heard that it used to be that titular bishops were forbidden to go back to that diocese because it's part now of a larger diocese, and that a bishop that's actually there wouldn't want somebody trying to come in and claim part of his territory. I don't know if that's true or not, but a number of people told me that, but there's no restriction now, so who knows? Maybe one day I'll have a pilgrimage to Scotland.
I was going to ask you if you're going to go.
Okay, we're going to lead one here.
I'm Spirit a little pilgrimage. Scottish, so I'll go with you.
That's right. There we go.
I always wanted to go there. Yeah. I have a great interest, and we here at Spirit-Filled Hearts, Empowered by the Spirit on our show, we spend a lot of time talking about the new evangelization and the great call, the great commission, as seen in Matthew 28, as seen in Mark 16 and Acts 1, go make disciples of all nations. St. Boniface as a big evangelist, and tell us about that and your devotion, in a sense, to St. Boniface.
Part of it was, again, being assigned to that parish, but St. Boniface came to evangelize the Germans. He was ready to go back home, and the Holy Father told him, no, stay and continue to do the work. At the time, most of the people were pagan. A lot of them were idolizing trees. They thought that this tree was sacred. There's an image of him where he's chopping down a tree, and the people in horror that, you know, God was going to strike him down with lightning for doing that. But eventually then, he was martyred. He had trunks with him, which had books of the Gospels and scriptures, and so when the people who martyred him then thought they'd get this big treasure, they open it up, and it's all a bunch of Gospels in this big trunk, and so then that's and their anger, they started stabbing the Gospel. That's how that symbol came about.
Interesting.
But he was one who, even though personally he was ready to go home, he continued the great work and ultimately brought the Christian faith to Germany and was able to bring so many people to Christ.
Now, on your coat of arms, the words, what do they mean?
So the coat of arms, Iuntis Docte Omnis Gentis, is go make disciples of all nations.
I love that.
I figured you'd kind of like that motto. So, go make disciples of all nations.
I was beaming when I read that in your bio. Go make disciples of all nations. And why is that so important?
For me, it came from my parish ministry. When I was appointed a bishop, Bishop Van said, start right away coming up with your motto because these things have to get done pretty quickly. And my first thought was I would go and I'd read Paul's letter to Timothy and see if there's something there that would strike me. And I went through a couple times and I go, this is okay. That could work. But every time I prayed about it, I kept going back to go make disciples of all nations from Matthew's gospel. So eventually I went through this a couple times and I said, this is what the Lord wants, and sorry, St. Timothy, but you're not going to get that honor. And I told the bishop, he said, great. Interestingly, I've heard, and I don't know these other bishops that have been recently named, but I've heard that this is not a motto that's been used really at all for many, many, many years.
Wow.
And there's myself and at least one, if not two others, that have variants of that in this just recent group of bishops that have been named over the last couple months. So I think the Holy Spirit's telling our whole nation that we need to go and make disciples. And
the Holy Spirit's at work.
Amen.
Yes. Sure.
Yes. My brothers and sisters, St. Pope John Paul II said it was our supreme duty to follow Jesus by making disciples of all nations, by bringing the word, the good news of Jesus Christ, right? the good news of Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is so many people are living in darkness, and that you are Jesus to them. You are his hands, his eyes, his heart, his voice. You are Jesus, his love, his compassion, his mercy. You, many times, are the only Jesus that someone will ever see. And the responsibility, Bishop, is so profound for us to say yes to Jesus, and to understand that Jesus will put people in our path for us to love with the love of Jesus.
Yes, and I think the laity have much more power in this than I do, because I can talk to somebody about Jesus, and they're going to say, well, he's a priest or he's a bishop, he's supposed to. But when a lay person shares their faith in the midst of raising children, working on paying the bills, all of these things, that I think many times resonates much more. When a person who's normal, quote unquote, is living a good Christian life and showing that love of Christ to others, that will resonate more than somebody that people will say, well, he's supposed to say that. So I think everybody listening has the opportunity. You don't need a degree. You don't need advanced studies. You just share how God has blessed you, what God is doing in your life. And if we've been given such a great gift, why would we not want our friends and our neighbors to have that great gift as well, the joy, the peace, the love that comes from relationship to Christ?
Marianne, we are the fifth gospel. Mm-hmm. Is our story, as Bishop says, our life. And if we share about us and why Jesus is so important to us, how Jesus has transformed our life, no one can argue with that. And that's, people want to hear that.
It's our journey. One of the things that I remember being told or read somewhere is that, you know, we need to keep it simple, and we can just share, you know, this is the problem I had, or maybe my struggle, and I prayed to the Lord, to Jesus. This is what Jesus did to me, and this is how I'm transformed because of it. And if we could keep our message just that simple with our story to others, it's very powerful.
My brothers and sisters, let's take a look again at Scripture. Take a look at John 10:10. I have come to give you life and life abundantly. What does that really mean? Do you feel that life abundantly right now in your life? Do you feel the fruit of the Holy Spirit is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23? Do you have love? Do you have joy exploding in your heart? Do you have peace? Do you have patience and self-control, generosity, faithfulness? Do you have those fruits in your life? If you feel like you don't, it's time to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And that's really what evangelization is all about, is saying that Jesus loves you unconditionally. And I love the 8th chapter of Romans, the first verse that says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And Bishop Fryer, so many people live in condemnation. They're sinners, and they feel like God will never forgive them.
Right. And one of the things that I think is helpful is we go to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, it says, who is it that is condemning us? Who is it that is accusing us? And it's not Jesus. It's the devil. The devil is the one that is always throwing our sin back in our face, because he knows if we get demoralized, if we get discouraged, if we throw in the towel, then he's got us. And so he's the one. What does Jesus do? Jesus extends his arms to embrace us on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. We hear the story of the prodigal son, where the father ran out to the son and didn't even let the son finish his old scripted apology. He just was glad that the son who was lost is back found. So when we feel that condemnation, yes, we should have appropriate guilt if we sin, but that condemnation is coming from the enemy. And that's a sign that we just need to go back, allow the church to heal us, and to give us that peace that only Christ is going to be able to be giving to us.
I was in Cebu recently, and thank you all for praying for us. It was an incredible trip to the Philippines, and a parish priest in a very poor area brought a woman to us to pray over, because she was having issues and so forth, and we have a prayer ministry. And in the conversation, she told us about how she was living with her boyfriend, and we talked about sin. And, of course, the parish priest was there, and I said, when was the last time you had been to reconciliation? And she said, I can't remember ever going. Wow. And so I said, well, before we go any further, I'm sure Father wouldn't mind you going down the hallway and having a quick confession, or having a confession however length of time. And she did, and she came back, and she was beaming. And my brothers and sisters, a big part of evangelization, which is the good news, is understanding that you can go to Jesus at any time through your priest, who is going to forgive you as you give that honest confession and get and show the love of Jesus. And we just advocate reconciliation so strongly, Bishop, because so many people don't take advantage of it.
Great. And I know that in my experience as a priest, it's one of the greatest things that I'm able to do is to be that instrument of God's love in the sacrament of confession or penance, reconciliation, whatever you want to call it.
We're going to be right back to talk more about that love of Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit here high atop the Tower of Hope with someone that I'm just getting to know. I'm so thrilled to have Bishop Timothy Fryer, the Auxiliary Bishop of Orange, on our show with Marianne Greco, my wife. And we were talking about how much God wants to forgive us and show us His mercy, and that transformation that occurs through the sacrament of reconciliation. And on this show, and Powered by the Spirit, we spent a lot of time talking about the Eucharist, daily Mass, the critical nature of it, being in the presence of Jesus, the importance of Scripture and the Rosary and the Blessed Mother. But we spent a lot of time talking about reconciliation, because I believe that everyone's life will be transformed when they learn about the mercy of Christ through this really important sacrament. I also believe that it'd be impossible to leave the Catholic Church if you truly understand the sacraments of the Eucharist and reconciliation. And this is such an important sacrament. And Bishop was telling us about the transformation of so many people who have gone to reconciliation, and all of a sudden they have these tears of joy.
Yes, and they'll say, you know, I'm walking in the clouds now, or I've never felt so loved before, or they can't even put into words how much God has impacted them when they hear with their ears, I absolve you of your sins. I think that for some of us who, for whatever reason, may not regularly go to confession, I've talked with those people and they say, you know, I keep asking God to forgive me. I keep asking God to forgive me, but they don't know. Whereas if you were to go to confession after this program, you would be able to say, if you start thinking about that same sin, you know, tomorrow, wait, God forgave me yesterday afternoon. We heard it with our ears. We were able to say, this is the day, this is the time that God forgave me, and to know with certitude that, yes, God has forgiven me. I don't have to keep on going back and pleading and pleading and pleading.
I think one of the things you touched upon, Bishop, was that people sometimes stop because they think that the sin they've committed is too great for God to forgive. And you said, you know, you're telling them that's not so.
It's not so at all. God will forgive whatever sin that they have committed. And again, it's the devil that is, he's smart. You know, he'll tell you when he's tempting you, oh, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Everybody does it. And then the moment you commit the sin, how terrible are you? You are not worthy to go back to the church. And he uses that same sin to separate us. But God is willing to forgive whatever we've done. And I think that I've always told people, if you have a sin that's most embarrassing or most shameful, get it out first. And you'll see the roof of the confessional doesn't come crashing down. The priest doesn't have a heart attack or a stroke. He's probably heard that same sin many a time before. And once they do that, there's that sigh of relief. And then they're able to say, God really does love me. He forgives me today. And they may still need to do some work on forgiving themselves, but this is the major first step, is to allowing God's forgiveness to reign in their heart.
You know, we've been talking about evangelization, which means good news, and that's a word foreign to many Catholics. They get scared of it, and we just went through a 2.5-day program here,
yes,
in the Diocese of Orange, and I'm so excited about it and so excited about being the vanguard of evangelization. But what is it? People are afraid of it. What it is what we've been talking about, is,
yes,
understanding how much God loves you, and understanding how merciful He is, and how He's constantly calling you. And people go, well, God can never forgive me. I mean, I keep committing the same sin over and over and over again. It doesn't matter how many times, 7 times 70, it's over and over and over again. God is calling us to come back to him. And little by little by little, my brothers and sisters, little by little, you're being healed. Some of you are being healed instantly, and God is calling you right now to go to reconciliation. God is calling you to go to daily mass. God is calling you to turn your life over to him. And when you do that, you'll never regret it.
And as a priest, I'm glad that if you come back and you say, oh, I just have the same sins, that's a lot better than saying, oh, I have the sins of last time plus 2 more new ones. I mean, it's good that we're not coming in with new sins. That's actually a positive thing. It means you've resisted a number of temptations.
Amen.
The other part is Satan knows where we're weak. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to tempt us where we've fallen because he knows that's the easy way. It's the low-hanging fruit. So if a person is struggling with gossip, Satan's going to put lots of gossipy people in their path. Not drug dealers, because that's not of interest. And they say, I don't want that. But Satan is going to tempt us where we've fallen. And so the more we come to confession, the more God is going to give us the grace to resist temptation in the future.
Amen.
Like you said, it's maybe not one shot, but little by little, if we come regularly, we'll say, yes, I committed a sin, but it wasn't as bad or it wasn't as often. That there's gradual progress in sanctity when we come to that sacrament.
I think it's really good that we're able to recognize our sins and our weaknesses. Because just in the recognizing them, we become stronger, like you said, with the Lord. We recognize them. We cannot allow Satan to get in there and use them.
And one of the greatest sins of all is pride. And sometimes God allows us to fall on our faces so that we think, oh, aren't we cool, you know? And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, we fall on our face. And it's okay because at the end of the day, no one wants sin. But what's the important thing is to understand that with Jesus, we have everything. And when we turn to him, he wipes away that sin and makes us newer and fresher and cleaner than anything we could ever be.
And if we look again to the Blessed Mother, when she went to visit Elizabeth, her kinswoman, Elizabeth said, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Mary didn't say, oh, yes, you're right. You're so lucky that I've come to visit you. She didn't have that sense of her pride. Well, but she didn't negate that she was a source of blessing.
Right.
But she then went on, my soul glorifies the Lord because all of the good that we have is from God.
Amen.
And a healthy sense of pride is to say, thank you.
Amen.
But it's God's gift. It's
Amen.
Not my gift. I may
Amen.
Have cultivated it. And some people think that there's that humility that is a false humility, that we can't acknowledge our gifts. We need to acknowledge our gifts so that we can put them in service to the kingdom.
Amen.
Not to say, oh, I'm not good for anything. No, God has created each one of us in his image and likeness. You have gifts that I don't have. Marianne has gifts that I don't have. But together we use those gifts, we recognize those gifts, we cultivate those gifts, and we give God the glory by saying, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have this gift and this talent and this skill.
And you may wonder, what are my gifts? Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because it goes into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it says, one spirit, many gifts. And the reality is, it's the body of Christ that has those gifts. And speaking of gifts, we're so fortunate to have the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, the Auxiliary Bishop of Orange, here on our show and with us. And what is your vision for the future, if I would be so bold, about yourself and anything that you want to really go into as this new Bishop of Orange?
My hope is to be able to assist Bishop Vann in any way possible. We're in a very large diocese, and there's plenty to do, so to be able to help him in any way I can. And the other part, I think, is to continue the momentum that we have now in our diocese of helping people to share their faith, to evangelize, to help people to allow others to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I think, as we've been hearing the past couple of days, we're good about teaching about Jesus, and it's important that we teach about Jesus, but it's even more important that we teach people how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Going back to the class for adult sacraments, one of the things that I changed was we used to have a class on prayer, and we would talk about prayer. Wonderful. But we made it a workshop. Here are different styles of prayer. It doesn't matter which way you pray, but how do you pray the rosary? And we taught them that. How do you read scripture? and prayer. We need to create those opportunities. Talking about is good, but having the relationship with Christ is the key, I think.
My brothers and sisters, the most difficult, longest journey and most important journey is 18 inches, the journey from the head to the heart. We have to put Jesus in our heart. Even the demons know in their head that Jesus was God, but we must make Jesus Lord of our life. And to make Jesus Lord of our life, we have to have that personal relationship. And that's what Bishop is saying. And Bishop, it's been such a blessing and honor to have you on our show, Empowered by the Spirit. We want you back. You're just awesome. And I'm so excited about your zeal for evangelization. What words, and if you could give our audience a blessing, that would be wonderful. But we certainly bless you, and we're asking everyone to please pray for Bishop Timothy Fryer, our new auxiliary bishop of the Diocese of Orange, and we certainly pray for you. But what words do you have for our audience in closing?
First off, thanks for listening. It's a sign already that you want to develop your faith, that you are listening to Catholic Radio, and so thank you for that. And then again, today, tomorrow, share with a coworker, share with a neighbor, share with a friend something good that God has done for you. You don't have to beat them over the head and drag them to Mass on Sunday. It's just sharing the good news. And so to please take this to heart and allow it to come through you to others. And then we'll ask the Lord to bless you. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the many blessings you've given in our life, especially the gift of faith in Christ Jesus, the salvation that is possible through him. We ask that you bless all of us, that we may be faithful disciples of your Son Jesus, and may together be in paradise forever. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.